So as Chris said, we're here to help you through your journey. We have time for questions and answers, so I'd like to invite Dr. Lawler, Jesse, and Irene back up to the front so we can answer your questions.
Yes, this is a question horizontally, got it right there. I'm only about 2 months into diagnosis. I saw my doctor at Kaiser, and he just gave me a folder or a brochure and a prescription, okay? Didn't really talk to me too much about it. I'm going to see him in another month, so I've had like a three-month space. And I've been trying to figure out what's the best time to take my medication and what I can take it with from the standpoint of food to make sure that it works properly.
Yeah, so when I'm trying to figure out dosing times, you want to work with the patient's lifestyle. So I start off by saying, what time do you get up in the morning and what time do you go to bed at night? You should take your first dose first thing in the morning before your feet hit the floor, right? So I want that clock to start going, because remember, you're going to be spacing, if we're talking about levodopa anyway, we're going to be spacing away from food that contains protein by a minimum of 30 minutes, an hour is ideal. And so first thing in the morning when you get up, that's going to start your schedule for the day. Ideally, levodopa, depending on when you get up, how early that is, and how late you go to bed at night, you may end up with four doses. But a lot of people, if they're newly diagnosed and the symptoms are mild, you can get away with three times a day dosing, but it would be a minimum of three times a day. So you're going to have your first dose first thing in the morning, last dose at bedtime, and then the middle dose somewhere halfway in between. If you're four times a day, then most of the time it's scheduled every 4 to 5 hours apart. And then you just want to just pay attention to when you typically eat meals so that you can be on a schedule that's going to align with what your daily routine is.
You can also take your meds with carbohydrate-containing foods like applesauce or fruit or piece of toast or juice, something like that. Those don't contain protein, so it's not like you can't have anything to eat, and those might help if you have nausea when you take the med. There's a question here.
Yeah, my question is, can a neurologist tell you that that she has given you to the maximum of your medication and no more? Can she give you any more? So she says she recommends that you go for deep brain surgery, which I am very, very afraid of and scared of. But she says if you don't go, I got nothing else to give you anymore. That's your maximum already. Is there such thing as a maximum to the medication?
So all medications kind of have a maximum dose. I will say what's reported in the literature for levodopa is probably incorrect. So it's a case-by-case basis to determine what the maximum is. I don't know exactly what your regimen is, but we could add it up and compare to what it says on label for the maximum dose, because the only difference between a medicine and a poison is how much you use. But for levodopa, you can go far beyond and above what it says the maximal dose is, but only on a case-by-case basis. And sometimes, if you're not getting where you want to go with the oral medicines, it might be an absorption problem. So it might not be the issue is that your dose is not high enough or you need more. You might need more because you're not absorbing it, and you might not be absorbing it all for a variety of different reasons. So deep brain stimulation, although I do love it and it is an option, it might solve part of your problem. There are other options like the DUOPA we mentioned.
And then now she says, she wants me to go for DBS, and I'm afraid of that. And she says, oh, I've given you to the maximum already, and that's it. So I don't know what you mean by maximum, that's it.
There's also adjunctive therapies that can make the main levodopa regimen work better. So there's a lot of things you can do, creative things you can do. You got to be able to think outside the box. It's not just about levodopa in terms of treatment of Parkinson's. So you may want to seek out a second opinion about medication management if you feel like you've hit a wall with your current physician.
Good afternoon. I had a question for you. What is, maybe it's a silly question, but what is LSVT, what does that stand for?
It stands for Lee Silverman Voice Therapy. That's how it was developed. And so the same principles from the LSVT Loud, the speech program, were used for LSVT Big, so they kept that Lee Silverman Voice Therapy as the name.
Thank you all. It's been very interesting. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 4 years ago, not quite. and with Parkinson's related dysautonomia just about a little over a year ago. What I would like to recommend through my journey to newly diagnosed is you must be your own advocate. You must, if something doesn't seem right or feel right, bring it up and make sure that your doctor knows about it. The second thing was, I totally agree with your, I think it was you who had a discussion about supplements. Be very careful with supplements, even ones that are prescribed by doctors. I was prescribed by B complex vitamins and a multivitamin with B, and I ended up having neuropathy and didn't know it was the B6 that was causing it. My new neurologist took me off of it right away, and my symptoms disappeared within about a week or 10 days.
I have a question about travel. What do you recommend? For instance, we are thinking about going to the Caribbean, but it's a long journey, and what do you think about that, and how do you cope?
Well, when you're traveling and there's different time zones, I think that's usually where the issue comes up with the timing of the medication. So when you get to your destination, you're going to stay on your home time zone until the new morning you wake up in the new location, and then you let the time clock reset. And you use your same times, but with the new times in the new time zone, if that makes sense. So the first morning in the new location, you're going by the local time.
But I'm concerned about the travel.
The actual travel?
It's so long.
So there are some options in San Diego. We have a unique opportunity here that I just took advantage of recently by flying out of the airport that's down there, Tijuana Airport. So there's actually access to that airport from San Diego. CBX. Border crossing, and flights to the Caribbean are very short. They have direct flights. They're very short. So if you fly out of San Diego, there's no direct flights. I just experienced this recently. You would be flying to, they wanted me to fly to Miami first and then back to the Caribbean. But yeah, check out Tijuana flights. It's safe, and you could just walk right into the Tijuana airport through border crossing, CBX.
If I could add to that, my wife had mobility problems, and we communicated that with airlines, and they were very accommodating. It was heartwarming to see how far they would go to make us comfortable in a flight. So be sure to let them know.
Also, make sure you take your medications in the original bottle with the original labels, because instead of a pill minder. That's really helpful.
So you mentioned some great therapies like chiropractic and acupuncture and nutritionalists and OT and PT and speech and alternative therapies and gym memberships and the special classes in the gym memberships. I know how much those cost because I do that for my son, and I'm very blessed that I have the money to do that. But my elderly parents are on a fixed income. And I feel like with all things, the best of the best for us is really for rich people or people who can afford it. And I'm grateful that I can afford it, but I don't know that I can afford it for my family and also my elderly parents. So are there resources and support for something like that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. This is an issue that I recognized in the community as well. And so I started a nonprofit clinic. It's called NeuroLab 360, and it's in Encinitas. And we fundraise via donations, grants, things like that, and we provide scholarships to people to provide these services. So at our clinic, we provide one-on-one physical therapy, one-on-one exercise wellness sessions, and group exercise classes, and people can apply for scholarships for all of those things. And then we also offer free services, like the Loud Crowd that we're starting. We have a free monthly Parkinson's class. And Chris was just holding up, we have our flyer in the folder, the NeuroLab 360 flyer. And then I know Paul could probably speak to this more, but the North County Support Group Network is helping provide scholarships for people to attend a lot of different services too.
Right, a lot of exercise programs and daycare programs and so forth. Well, I won't say all of them are free, not by any stretch, but some of them are free. And for those for which there is a fee charged, North County Parkinson Support Group Board is working on scholarships whereby you might be able to take two or three sessions with a group or one or two days of daycare to taste it, to test it, to see what you think of it. And beyond that point, it'll be up to you to pay the fee involved. but we'll give you an opportunity to at least taste those things.
There's also
Speak Out, ParkinsonsVoiceProject.org. If you go there, the founder of that organization, every Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. our time, does a class. She takes you through all the basic exercises. It is not a Zoom class, okay? It is more like a webinar, so all you're seeing is her, but she has a chat session, so you can log in once you register with them. It's all free of charge, but it takes you through the basic exercises of Speak Out. So I highly recommend it. It's something that's just on our calendar that we do every single day with my husband. But ParkinsonsVoiceProject.org.
And lastly, Patrick Lasasso is a physical therapist, a personal trainer, who has worked with Parkinson's patients for 20 years. He has 9 classes a week that are free. They're online. It's a Zoom class. You can donate to help support him or not. It doesn't really matter. There's also a support group that he runs. He used to be a member of our board down here. He lives up in LA, but he does a gentle class, an energetic class, group class. He does the boxing session. There's a yoga class. What else? Anyway, they're very good. I take those classes at least 3 times a week.
There's also an organization called the Parkinson's Wellness Fund. It started in San Diego. I think they're based out of LA now, but if you have Parkinson's, you can apply for assistance with whatever exercise or therapy program you're wanting to try.
Dr. Laurel, I have a question. You mentioned with the DBS that it not only treats the tremors, but could also treat the dystonia. Is that something that you could possibly do all together, or is that separate?
Yeah, there's many types of Parkinson's, as we covered before, but there are 2 distinctive types that helps determine where the leads, the wires are placed for deep brain stimulation. If there's a dystonia predominant type, where pretty much they have dystonia in all their limbs, their head and their neck, then the DBS site for that is different than if you're treating it primarily to go after the tremor. So, and you can have sort of a mix. And so this is why it's a conversation between your neurologist and the neurosurgeon and the patient to kind of figure out where is the best target for deep brain stimulation. But yes, there are options, and deep brain stimulation typically, like I said, will treat whatever symptoms go away with levodopa. Those classically go away with deep brain stimulation, but it can also treat dystonia depending on where we put the target.
I wanted to make a comment towards the closing. I guess we're close to the closing. Join a support group, and if you don't like it, try another one. There are different personalities in all of the support groups. I happen to lead one that meets in this room, and it's the best in North County. But there are lots of other.
Uh-oh.
But support groups are great, great ways for you to stay on top of the disease, on top of the social aspects that we've been talking about, can help you find about exercise programs. So much of the richness of this is available to you through support groups. How many of you are in support groups right now? Fantastic. Those of you that are not, ask these people. They'll tell you. Thank you.
We want to thank everyone for attending today. We will have future events. Many times people come to more than one Good Start program because there's so much information that we give you. I am a good example of someone who lives well with Parkinson's. My motto is live your best life, whatever that means to you. My best life is different from any of you. I do try to exercise every day, and I've had deep brain stimulation as well, so I can take questions about what that process is like. But I am who I am. My Parkinson's is different from any of you, so I am not the example for how you're going to do with your Parkinson's. That's up to you and how your disease is managed. Get a movement disorder specialist if you don't have one. They're very valuable. And work with them and make sure they're listening to you and your symptoms. Care partners, make sure they're asking you questions about how your person with Parkinson's is doing. We don't always have great insight. So thank you again for coming, and hope to see you at a future event.